Robbie Rogers started playing soccer in Southern California when he was 4. Since then, he played for the U.S. Olympic national soccer team in the 2008 Beijing Summer Olympics, for Leeds United in England, and in May last year, he joined the LA Galaxy soccer club. And while he was also known for his explosive speed, in 2013, Robbie Rogers became known as the first openly gay man to compete in a major North American professional sports league. Now he's written a book about that experience called Coming Out to Play. It's published by Penguin Books, and it is my great pleasure to welcome Robbie to our show today. Hello.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. How are you doing?
How did you come to be enrolled in the American Youth Soccer Organization at 4? Do they start kids that young?
I come from a very athletic family, and my sisters played soccer, or everyone actually played soccer, but when I was around 4 or 5, I started to go to their games and just playing on the side and kicking the ball around, and then my parents were like, you know, he loves this, so we'll start him early, and they kind of had me play with the older kids and kind of just started from there.
And you say that on the weekends your whole family would pile into a car and drive to 6 soccer games and a judo tournament?
Yeah, I mean, there's 5 of us, so we'd all have soccer, and we do judo and practices, so it was pretty hectic. And I remember growing up being like, oh, this is so much, but now it's awesome having a big family.
Were you pressured to win? Because you say that some weekends you and your brother Tim would hide your father's car keys.
I don't know if it was, it wasn't really the pressure of winning, but it was just like always having to go to training. So we would like, it's so funny. Yeah, we would hide the keys, hopefully that like he always found them, but we hope that he wouldn't sometimes.
On the other hand, if you didn't do that training, if you don't really work at it, you'd can't rise to the kind of level that you do.
Yeah, if you don't, I mean, we practice every day, and after practice, my brother and I would go and kick the ball around the house and break things and fool around, but it was, it's kind of what made me, I think, better than other kids.
You say that you tried your hand at football and baseball, but why soccer?
I think the other sports were just a little boring for me. I'm not sure. I think I probably had ADD when I was younger, and just being able to run around and kick the ball around, and it's such an active sport where you're going up and down the field. You know, football is a little bit break in baseball. So I don't know. I don't know what it was about soccer. Obviously, it's not that big of a sport in the United States. It's getting bigger, but back then it wasn't. But it just kind of caught my interest.
Usually it's the littler kids.
Yeah. I was a little kid, but not. I wasn't really small.
But you're also shy, you say.
Yeah.
And did playing help you in that regard?
Yeah, definitely. And my mom tells stories that when I was really young, that if anyone came in the room, I would like hide behind her or my dad. And even now, I'm a shy person. You know, it's interesting that I wrote a book and I've come out so publicly, but I am a very shy person. But I think, you know, sports has always kind of given me that platform and that confidence. So I was able to kind of build confidence from my success that way.
You're right that growing up, you seemed like the golden boy in a golden family, but when you became a teenager, you felt that you had one huge flaw.
Yeah.
Did being gay seem terrifying?
Yeah. Grew up in a very conservative Catholic family and in the sports world where there are no gay men or women, really. I mean, more now, but not back then. I didn't have any role models to look up to.
Well, there were plenty, probably. But
yeah, not that I knew of or that were, you know, that were active, I guess. So I just thought those things weren't right. And those were things that I couldn't be gay and be an athlete or be gay and be part of my family.
So was it a matter of just repressing or trying to conceal
repressing
your sense of sexuality?
I mean, I was so closeted. I whenever, you know, I had those kind of feelings or whenever I saw anything that was, you know, part of gay culture, I was just so turned off by it and so afraid.
You say it all started with My Little Pony, the children's toy.
Yeah.
Why was that a problem for your father?
I think there's a stereotype that people that are homophobic, I guess, or, you know, they expect their straight son to be this way and into sports and this way, and I wasn't. And so I think that kind of scared my dad a little bit.
You were playing with dolls.
Yeah, sometimes with my sister. I mean, I played with dolls, I played sports, I played with army men. You know, I did a bunch of different things, and I think that worried my dad when he saw that side of me.
You say that besides your mother and sisters teasing you for playing with dolls, you didn't receive much teasing from other kids. Was that because you were such a successful athlete?
I think so, and I think that's why I was so afraid to lose that part. I felt like if I came out, you know, that I'd lose that part. So I think definitely my success in the field was kind of my identity.
Did you feel that playing soccer would make you straight?
What made me think I could turn or that I could be straight was trying to like date girls or to like pray harder or to like do something like that. But soccer was more of a way for me to kind of hide behind that success.
And you say you did pray hard all the time. You asked him to swap your gift of soccer for being straight.
Yeah. It's really like when I reread that stuff and reread things in my diary and my letters, it's really sad because I kind of remember how I felt and how depressed I was and just, you know, and then it reminds me of other people that feel this way. It's so backwards.
You've also said that the song you've got to be carefully taught from South Pacific it reminds you of your experience growing up.
Yeah, I think. Or I know, you know, being raised, again, in a very conservative Catholic family in the sports world, again, you hear so many things and you're raised to believe you have to be a certain way. So, for me, I just picked up on all those things and thought this is how I was supposed to be.
You write in the book that your parents didn't set out to hurt you.
No.
When did you realize, could you rise above a sense that they were? I mean, like that story about hearing Elton John on the car radio.
I don't think they weren't trying to hurt me. They just were very close-minded and insensitive to that kind of stuff. I think at that point they never thought they had a gay son. You know, it was. It's been such an eye-opening experience now that I've come out, and my family was, like I said, very conservative and Catholic, but and against marriage equality and different things like that. But after I came out, my family, you know, can't wait till I get married and to attend a wedding or hopes that I have kids. And so it's changed very much. My world and their world has changed very much. I think sometimes it takes experiences like that.
Well, they have two choices. Either totally reject you or say, well, you are who you are.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We love you.
Exactly. And thank God they you know, were supportive. But there's tons of people in this world in the United States that, you know, it goes the other way.
My guest is Robbie Rogers, who, with the help of Eric Marcus, has written Coming Out to Play. It is published by Penguin. But that Elton John experience was another confirmation that you better keep things to yourself.
Yeah.
What happened?
There was a few experiences. I remember I was in the car with my mom, and you know, she said that she was a fan of Elton John until I think she used, like, he became weird or he got weird about, you know, that. And it stayed with me forever. It stayed with me forever. And when Eric and I started writing and talking and he came to stay with me, that was definitely one of the experiences that really scarred me, you know. And there was other times when I was in sports rooms and locker rooms and you guys would be having discussions on how you could even be gay or, you know, the coaches saying, you know, don't pass the ball like a faggot, which is like insane for a coach to say to a youth or anyone to say, period. So that
kind
of stuff.
What would that mean?
Yeah, what would that mean exactly? It's like, that's exactly...
You use your left foot instead of your right foot?
You know, I remember hearing that, and it was after I came out to my family and friends, and one of my friends was on the team, and I was like, I can't believe he said that. Like, what does a faggot pass a ball like? I mean, like, he doesn't know that I'm gay, and I'm here doing it just as well as he is. And I've, you know, had success, so it's just ignorance. That's ignorance.
How do you respond to all of those players who've said that they'd feel uncomfortable in the showers if they knew that one of their teammates was gay?
I don't know how to respond to that.
Because
I shower every day with my teammates in our locker room, and there's close to 30 of us, and it's not an issue, and we'll be naked and talking about same-sex marriage and just random things that go on in locker rooms. So I don't really know what to say to them. I just think that they need to be a little bit open-minded.
But when you were younger, did playing, being good at soccer make you stand out to the girls? Did you
did you
still hold out hope somewhere in the back of your head that you'd meet the right girl and everything
work out for you? That's exactly what I thought. I thought, you know, I'd meet some girl someday that would kind of like just I'd fall in love with. And it took me a while to kind of come to terms with myself and realize that I am for who I am for a reason and that it was okay.
And you say that a couple of weeks into playing college soccer, a teammate said, if you don't hook up with a girl this weekend, then you're gay.
Yeah. And I was thinking, like, where is this coming from? Like, what have I done? You know, and I was horrified. And I remember I even hooked up with a girl after that because I wanted to fit in with the guys. So, I mean, there was a number of occasions that stuff like this happened.
Did is one of the reasons you signed with Leeds United in England? I'm assuming that one of the reasons is it's a great team and anybody would want to play. But also getting away and being able to establish a life of your own?
Definitely. my relationships, they were like close but not too close, you know. And I played in Columbus, I went to University of Maryland, I started my career in Holland, I went to England, and it's like I always was trying to be close to my family, but then I was like, oh no, I'm too close, I need to get away, and I need to kind of hide this.
Well, people in England any more open about this or any more? I hate to use the word tolerant, but
yeah, I would say probably as a society, I think like culturally they're a little bit more open. You know, London is a very open place, and other parts of the UK, but the sports culture there, I think, is the same here. It's pretty homophobic, and you know, it's like behind. It's like the dark times.
And Leeds is in the north of England. What I remember about Leeds, it was a heavy drinking town.
Yeah, it still is. But it's a great place, and the fans have been so supportive. I went back there last year, and they gave me a standing ovation and have been very supportive and said, like, you know, we'd love for you to come back.
Really?
Yeah.
But you're with LA. Are you still with LA
Galaxy? I'm with LA Galaxy, yeah. I just re-signed a contract with them.
And that had to be thrilling that they just won another championship.
Yeah,
it's
probably
the most successful team in American soccer.
Definitely. We have five championships now, and definitely one of the most successful clubs in the MLS. So.
And it was Landon Donovan's last game, the championship. He encouraged you to come out of retirement.
We'll
get to retirement in a moment.
Yeah,
but
he was one of the first guys that he was playing with the Galaxy, and I was about to start training with them. And I just said, Landon, can we have some coffee? Because I'm just like worried what's going to happen when I come out to the locker room. How are guys going to treat me? So he's like, yeah, come down. I went to Manhattan Beach, and we just sat and talked for a while, and he was one of the guys that helped me come back.
Why do you think there aren't more out gay professional athletes? Because if people start coming out, then, and especially people who are respected, then
it
forces the issue in the same way that you coming out with your family forced that issue.
Yeah. It's just kind of, it shows me that the sports culture is still not accepting, and it's not an environment where gay men want to come out in. I think that's why people are so afraid. You hear so many things, like I said, that it just makes you think it's not possible.
Did your prominence as a professional athlete make dating a challenge? Meeting men in your case?
No, it hasn't been an issue. I think it's tough to have a relationship as a professional athlete, you know, because you're gone so much and working so much. But, you know, I didn't start going to gay bars or meeting or going on dates until I was 25. So the bigger issue was how awkward I was going on my first dates as a 25-year-old.
Oh, so you really suppressed it that
there,
long?
Yeah, that long.
And you a hamstring injury in 2012 led you to come out as a gay man. Can you tell us about the two-step coming out process that you invented for coming out?
So when I came out, I felt like the best way to do it was to write a letter. Or I was Skyping with my sister at first. She was the first person in my family. Then to Skype with her, video Skype. And then I would send her the letter and then Skype again. So my process was really strange and very calculated. But I just was so afraid to, like, speak to them and to see their immediate reaction that I wanted them to read it and to have it all down on paper and to just hopefully read through my emotions and then to talk about it. So I know it's different, but it worked for me.
And then you didn't do an interview, but you wrote about it on your blog.
Yeah, so then I came out to all my family and friends, and I was writing, and I came out 2 years ago in November, and then I was writing in December and wrote that blog that I initially posted, and that was in November.
Well, you hadn't actually been an active gay man for very long by the time that you came out.
No, it was a few months, and you know, it was just first going on my first dates and all that stuff. So when I came out and people were like, oh, why aren't there more gay athletes and what can we do about this and what kind of advice would you give? It was really hard for me to give advice because, you know, I didn't really live as a gay man for very long.
So you were injured. You went into semi-retirement.
Yeah.
And then you came out of retirement?
Yeah, it was four or five months after, and it was because of all of support that I received and people encouraged me to come back that I realized that I need to take this platform and try to, you know, change things up a bit. So that's when the Galaxy asked me to come train and then offered me a contract. It was like, I think, the beginning of May 2013.
Although you've said initially you didn't want to be the poster boy for gay athletes.
No, I you know, when I came out, I was going to go back to school in a college of fashion. I was given a menswear design technology course, and I had my place and saved enough money to put myself through school and just to kind of start a new life. And I I didn't want to be that spokesperson, and it wasn't until I realized how many people, you know, so many people send me letters from like, I feel exactly the same as you, and I feel like you were writing my story. And so when I realized that, I couldn't step away from that. I had to do something.
Was part of coming out in retirement that you could do it on your own terms?
I think
you didn't
so,
have
yeah.
to worry about the reaction yeah, of the team.
And exactly. I wasn't, you know, pulled by the team's PR to do this kind of media or that kind of media. So I got to just choose what I wanted to do. And it wasn't until, I think, a month after I posted that letter that I actually did, like, the Guardian and New York Times article. So I could just do it on my terms.
But it was also, must have felt good that the team
yeah.
welcomed you
yeah,
back.
Yeah, of course. It was still very supportive.
Tell us about the letter from the Catholic priest that you
yeah.
received after you came out.
I've received a bunch of different letters. But, that one was interesting. I wasn't expecting it. And I don't know. I grew up as a Catholic, so to read a letter like that, I've had some letters from Catholic priests that have been very mean, and other ones that have been very supportive.
But what did this guy say?
Well, that one I think is the one about just thanking me, and that the Catholic Church like accepts you. So I think the Catholic Church is changing very slowly, you know. But we're making some progress, I guess.
Athletes, star athletes, especially good-looking ones like you, often have women throwing themselves at them. How did you deal with that?
I didn't deal well with it. I think the questions I got were always like, Robbie, why don't you have a girlfriend, or why are you with this girl? Let me hook you up with this girl. And, you know, that obviously made it harder for me because I felt like then I had to lie to people. So that was probably one of the hardest parts. There was so much guilt that built up inside me when I was playing, because I always felt like I was constantly hiding this from people.
You've all played for other teams as well, the Columbus Crew.
Yep.
You're going to go back to the LA Galaxy. You say you signed a new contract.
Yep. Yeah,
is it very different playing in this country than playing in England? Is the level a little? And you also played in the Netherlands.
Yeah,
although is your level a little higher there?
A little bit, yeah, a little higher in England, and I would say it's similar to Holland. You know, soccer is the biggest sport in the world, and there's so much history and tradition, especially in those countries. So it's everything's a little bit more heightened with media, with fans, with everything. So that's just where it's a little different.
Robbie Rogers, his book, written with the help of Eric Marcus, is Coming Out to Play. It is published by Penguin Books. Thank you so much for being
Thank
on our
you.
Show.
Thanks for having me.